नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नाउ रीडिंग फ्रॉम द 9th कैंटो चैप्टर नंबर 8 टेक्स्ट नंबर 12 So we'll just quickly go through the text. Nasaduvado munikopa bharjita nripendra putra iti sattva dhamani katham tamo roshamayam vibhavyate jagat pavitratmani khera jobhuivaha. Translation. It is sometimes argued that the sons of King Sagara were burned to ashes by the fire emanating from the eyes of Kapil Muni. This statement, however, is not approved by great learned persons, for Kapil Muni's body is completely in the mode of goodness, and therefore cannot manifest the mode of ignorance in the form of anger, just as the pure sky cannot be polluted by the dust of the earth. Text number 13. यस्येरिता संख्यमाया संख्यामय दृढ़ेहनो ये हो गया अच्छा 14th है अच्छा 14th है ओके ओके यो समंजस इति युक्तः सकेशिन्यान पात्मजः तस्य पुत्रोऽंशुमान् नाम पितामहहिते रतः रतः ऑलवेज एंगेज्ड ट्रांसलेशन अमंग द सन्स ऑफ सागर महाराज वॉज वन नेम्ड असमंजस हु वॉज बॉर्न फ्रॉम द किंग्स सेकेंड वाइफ केशिनी द सन ऑफ असमंजस वॉज नोन एज अंशुमान एंड ही वॉज ऑलवेज एंगेज्ड इन वर्किंग फॉर द गुड ऑफ सागर महाराज हिज ग्रैंड फादर. So now I'll read the translations of the next coming verses till the 21st. Formerly, in his previous birth, Asamanjasa had been a great mystic yogi, but by bad association he had fallen from his exalted position. Now in this life he was born in a royal family and was a jati smara. That is, he had the special advantage of being able to remember his past birth. Nonetheless, he wanted to display himself as a miscreant, and therefore he would do things that were abominable in the eyes of the public and unfavorable to his relatives. He would disturb the boys sporting in the river Sarayu by throwing them into the depths of the water. Text number 17. Because Asamanjasa engaged in such abominable activities, his father gave up affections for him and had him exiled. Then Asamanjasa exhibited his mystic power by reviving the boys and showing them to the king and their parents. After this, Asamanjasa left Ayodhya. Purport. Asamanjasa was a jati smara. Because of his mystic power, he did not forget his previous consciousness. Thus, he could give life to the dead by exhibiting wonderful activities in relation to the dead children. He certainly attracted the attention of the king and the people in general. Then he left that place immediately. Text number 18. O King Parikshit, when all the inhabitants of Ayodhya saw that their boys had come back to life, they were astounded, and King Sagara greatly lamented the absence of his son. Text number 19. Thereafter, Amshuman, the grandson of Maharaj Sagara, was ordered by the king to search for the horse. Following the same path traversed by his uncles, Amshuman gradually reached the stack of ashes and found the horse nearby. Text number 20. The great Amshuman saw the sage named Kapila, the saint who is an incarnation of Vishnu, sitting there by the horse. Amshuman offered him respectful obeisances, folded his hands and offered him prayers with great attention. text number 21. Translation. Amshuman said, "My Lord, even Lord Brahma is to this very day unable to understand your position, which is far beyond himself, either by meditation or by mental speculation. So what to speak of others like us, who have been created by Brahma in various forms as demigods, animals, human beings, birds and beasts. We are completely in ignorance. Therefore, how can we know you who are the transcendence?" Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated, Ichha dvesha samutthena dvandva mohena bharata sarvabhutani sammoham sarge yanti parantapa. O son of Bharat, Bharat, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, overcome by the dualities of desire and hate. All living beings in the material world are influenced by the three modes of material nature. Even Lord Brahma is in the mode of goodness. Similarly, the demigods are generally in the mode of passion, and living entities lower than the demigods, such as human beings and animals, are in the mode of ignorance or in mixed goodness, passion and ignorance. Therefore, Amshuman wanted to explain that because his uncles, who had burnt to ashes, were under the modes of material nature, they could not understand Lord Kapiladev. Because you are beyond even the direct and indirect intelligence of Lord Brahma, he prayed, unless we are enlightened by your lordship, it will not be possible for us to understand you. So from the Bhagavad, Prabhupada is quoting, Athapi de deva padambu jadvaya prasadalesha anugrihita evahi janati tatvam bhagavan mahimno nachanya eko pichiram vichinvan. My Lord, if one is favored by even a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. But those who speculate to understand the supreme personality of Godhead are unable to know you, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years. The Lord, the supreme personality of Godhead, can be understood by one who is favored by the Lord. The Lord cannot be understood by others. Hare Krishna. Om Hare Krishna. So these are the episodes which are leading to the point where the Ganga descends from the heavenly planets. So what all took place has been described. So there are many such pastimes, not just one that we are reading here, about how the Ganges was brought down to the earth. So this is one such pastimes which has been mentioned here in Bhagavatam. So the story goes that Sagar Maharaj, the emperor of the world, he was performing this Ashwamedha Yajna, and one of the rituals is that they leave out the horse, you know, give out the horse, and whoever captures the horse, it is considered that he is challenging the king. So the horse apparently disappeared, and so the sons of Sagar Maharaj, 60,000 in number, they go in search of the horse. So now what happened to the horse? It is described that Indradev, he had stolen the horse and he placed it in front of Kapil Muni's ashram. Now who is Kapil Muni? Now Kapil Muni is the incarnation of God. And Indra made this arrangement so that the 60,000 sons of Sagar Maharaj, who according to the Shastra, it is explained in Bhagavatam, that they had become very puffed up. They were very proud of their opulence. They were the prince, and they had become very puffed up with their power and influence. So Indra wanted to somehow, you know, it is explained that even the demigods don't like to see pride in people, especially the leaders. So he made this arrangement by which Sagar Maharaj's son would encounter Kapil Dev. So the sons of Sagar Maharaj, searching for the horse, he comes across the ashram of Kapil, Lord Kapila, Supreme Lord himself. And when they see the horse close to the ashram of Kapila, Kapila was deep in meditation. So they concluded that it was Kapil Dev who stole the horse. So immediately they become very upset, they become very angry, and all of the 60,000, they raise their weapons to kill Lord Kapil. So it's explained like that. So what happens when they raise their weapons? When they raise their weapons, all the 60,000 together, they are so angry, in rage, they are so much overcome by their passion. Kshatriyas, after all, and they were so puffed up also. That is explained that just at that time, Lord Kapil opens his eyes. And when Lord Kapila opens his eyes, what happens? All the 60,000 sons, they are burned to ashes. All of them get completely incinerated, completely burned. So now it is explained here in the Bhagavatam that what happened, what exactly happened? Did Kapil Dev's opening of the eyes kill them, or was it, you know, the heat within their body or the anger of these sons which actually was responsible for their own death? So the Shastra explained that the heat, where the fire within their own body was aroused by their anger and their passion, and that was the cause of their own death. It's explained here. So because they were so proud and so puffed up, you know, they were excited by anger. So we can understand this, we can learn a very important lesson in this context, that what is the nature of anger and what is the nature of envy? You know, we can understand in this pastime that when a person, he harbors evil thoughts, when he harbors envious mentality for others, then that very thought becomes the cause of his own suffering. Here we can see the Sagar Maharaj's sons, they became so angry that their very anger, because they were in front of, you know, Supreme Personality of Godhead, their own anger became the cause of the death. Their own anger burnt them to ashes. And we can understand that's the nature of envy, and that is the nature of anger, basically. That's the nature of any negative thought that we keep in our minds towards others. That very thought that we harbor in our minds against others becomes the cause of our own suffering. You know, like there's an example, like for example, say a person doesn't like someone, and he may think that, you know, when he comes in front of me, I will throw a burning charcoal on his face. Sometimes a person may think. And he may hold the burning charcoal in his hands, waiting for this person to come. You know, but then what happens actually is that because he's holding the burning charcoal, he's actually burning his own hands. So that is the nature of envy. That, you know, that's the nature of vengeful attitude, that we want to somehow or another take revenge, and we think negative of people, of devotees. And what happens is that the result of that is that we ourselves cannot be peaceful. We cannot be peaceful. It burns us from within. It burns our consciousness, and we just cannot be peaceful. And here we can see the extreme result of envy or anger here in this pastime is that Sagar Maharaj's sons, all of them, because of their pride of the power and position of being the prince, you know, the emperor of the world, their children, because they were so puffed up, that their anger was responsible for their own deaths. And there is no doubt that most of the people of this world we have all come here, we are all suffering from the same disease in one sense, to some degree or another. Some people little less, some people little more, but basically everyone has this problem. A conditioned soul means he's envious. And to various degrees, consequently, we suffer. Why? Because we don't see that the cause of our suffering is not anyone in this world. The cause of the suffering is our own karma. It's not someone who's responsible for our suffering. It is ultimately our own karma which is coming back through some people. And people are just instruments, basically, are agents of nature in order to give back the reactions of our own actions which we have performed in the past, either in this life or in the past. So the secret of happiness and peace is what is to actually understand and accept this philosophy wholeheartedly. You know, that the cause of the suffering is not outside, but it is actually within us. It's our own mentality which is the cause of our own suffering. Just like Radha Gopinath Prabhu tells us, example, that in the sixth session course, he was giving the fifth session, and he was speaking about why do bad things happen to good people. And one person came to the class and he was appreciating the class like anything, and he was telling, "What a class, Prabhu, this was an eye-opener, and you know, it was so excellent, you know, I really have learned so much from your sessions." And he took prasad and everything, and he chit-chatted. He was in a very happy mood. He was going out, he went to the shoe stall, and he saw that his shoes were missing, it got stolen. And he became so upset that he never again turned up in the temple again. That was the last visit to ISKCON temple. So he appreciated the session, you know, that why do good things happen to bad people and all. And if he would have really actually accepted that philosophy in his, not just in his intellect, but actually in his heart, if he would have taken it within his heart, he would have realized that his shoes are lost. Why should we blame the temple management or anyone else? You should just think that, okay, I might have caused the loss of someone in the past life, and consequently in this life someone has stolen my slippers. You know, and so why should I blame someone responsible? So you see the irony of life, that many times we accept intellectually, we understand intellectually, but the acceptance within the heart is not there. And still, again, after the class, we hear that, yeah, that's right, what you said is absolutely true. And then immediately something happens, someone steps on our foot, or someone kirtan, someone pushes us, and we think, what is this? He does not know how to dance, you know. And the immediate reaction, you know, we tend to blame. We tend to blame others, and we tend to... So the thing is, the fault lies within us. And we can see here, the extreme example of envy towards others or anger is what Sagara Maharaj's sons, 60,000 all of them, are immediately burned to ashes. Why? Because they were not envying any ordinary human being, conditioned soul, but they're envying the supreme personality of Godhead, Kapiladev, personally present, and they could not recognize him. So that was an unfortunate situation. In one sense, fortunate, because they got purified by that. Because we know subsequently the Ganga comes down to purify them. Yeah, so the story goes like that. So what we learn from this is that, a very important lesson, that how a person in important responsible position must actually be very responsible in order to make sure that he is always controlled, calmed, acts responsibly. Because the leaders of the society, or leaders of any institution or a family, or if anyone, if they let loose their anger, then the consequences are going to be very drastic. So I was just making some kind of research and things like that, and I came across a very interesting fact that in Nepal, Kathmandu, the royal family was having a party. The royal family of Kathmandu, the king, and the prince who was crowned prince about 3 days back, his name was Dipendra Bir Kumar Singh. That's what his name was, I think. Yeah. This person, in a fit of rage in the party, he was drunk or something, and he brings his revolver and he goes to his father and he shoots him point blank. He's a king, he's a prince, he was just crowned the prince. This actually happened in 2001, you can read the history. You can go through the encyclopedia, you can find it. So this Dipendra Bir Kumar, he shoots his father. And is that all? No, that's not all. Then he goes to his mother, Aishwarya, his mother's name was Aishwarya. And he goes to his mother, shoots her point blank. Then he goes to his sister, brother-in-law, and in one shot, in one evening, all the members of the royal family were completely wiped out. And what happens after that? He goes out and shoots himself. 2001, Kathmandu. Royal family. Why? Because of whatever reasons, in attachments and so many conditionings people have, that they just don't have their anger. They don't have their anger in control. They don't have their minds in control. And there's some kind of, you know, research done that why he did this, and it is explained that he was in love with another someone, and she belonged to another dynasty who their family did not like, and, you know, they were not like in speaking terms or whatever. And due to which he was very upset with his family, and therefore he took the gun and he shot them all. This is what happens when, you know, anger and envy is uncontrolled and the mind is uncontrolled. And this is a problem with most of the people today, in one sense. And unfortunately, we see that the governments are also, not in India, but in Western countries, I heard, like somewhere in America, I was just watching one documentary. In that, there was one mention of one bank. You know, a bank where if you open an account, if you open an account in that bank, they reward you, they give you a gift of a gun. The gift that you get for opening an account in that bank is you get a gun, a huge shotgun. And because, you know, bullets and guns are available over the counter in America, I heard. You don't need license to purchase them. So you can imagine what was the good, and therefore it's not difficult to guess why there is so much of crime rate in America. And even in India now it's increasing. Why? Because, first of all, people have uncontrolled minds. They have no such thing as spiritual culture, moral values. And on top of that, they have great power. You know, they have all these weapons with them. And it's not very difficult to guess what will people do when they are upset. When they have a gun at home, you know, and if they're upset, what will people do? So therefore, you know, somehow or another, if we see that the government is making it easy for people to actually take revenge, you know, for their problems in life caused by others. So we can see that one thing that we should be very careful when it comes to leadership positions, when we are especially in a leadership, and in fact, everyone is in a leadership position in some way or another. Someone is a husband, someone is a mother, you know, someone is a temple president, someone is a, you know, preacher, and in so many ways, we are all leaders leading people. And therefore, it's very important for us to set the right examples. So now the question is, how can we become free from these problems? How can we become free from envy? So there's a very nice verse in the Bhagavad, it is explained. Anvikshikya shokamoho dambham hadupasaya. Yogantrena monena himsam kamadi anihaya. So it's explained that when a person is suffering from shok and moha, lamentation and illusion, what does he do? He should take shelter of the philosophy of the Vedas. Anvikshikya shokamoha. If you're suffering from illusion and lamentation, discuss, come for Bhagavatam classes, discuss Gita. That is the solution. Dambham mahadupaseya. And if one is suffering from false pride, then what should one do? One should serve great souls, pure devotees who have no material desires, Shuddha Bhaktas. Mahadupaseya. Mahad means great, advanced in self-realization, advanced devotees, Krishna Bhaktas. Go and serve them personally, do menial service for them. Dambham mahadupasya, yogantrena maunena. And on the path of yoga, many times it's very important to keep quiet and not talk nonsense. Because by talking nonsense, all that we have gathered, the spiritual merits in the form of good consciousness, will spill out of our mouths. So therefore, many times in yoga, it is advised that when it is not necessary to speak, or when it is no subject matter related with Krishna or related to Krishna, it's better to keep one's mouth shut. Yogantrena maunena himsam kamadi anihaya. And if one is suffering from envy and anger towards people, then how can one give that up? Himsam kamadi anihaya. By giving up the desire to enjoy this world. Let us develop an attitude for service. When you have the desire to enjoy, we masters, in that mood, then, you know, we get angry, we get agitated, someone tells us something, and, you know, anger is always at the tip of, you know, immediately one person becomes angry on a slight agitation. Why it is like this? Because we are, the mood for enjoyment is so ingrained in our consciousness that at the slightest agitation we become stressed, we get agitated, we become envious, we become angry. So therefore, himsam kama di anihaya, to give up in himsa, to give up anger, one should give up the desire to enjoy. So therefore, in this world, everyone is getting angry, and we can see here that, so, you know, like here we can see that this, he's expressing his anger towards the Supreme Lord. They were so proud that they could not recognize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the consequence of false ego is that you cannot recognize the Lord. You cannot recognize devotees. You cannot recognize and appreciate their exalted position. And when there is pride, then you don't mind offending anyone, including Supreme Personality of Godhead. You won't bother to think whether he's a teacher or he's, you know, your guru or he's a Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Like, you know, someone just sent me an anecdote that in a biology class, the professor was asking the student that look at the bird's legs and guess what is the name of this bird. So student looks and he says, "Sir, I don't know, sir." And he says, "Look at the legs of this another bird and say, what is the name of this bird?" He says, "Sir, I don't know, sir." And the professor says, "Nonsense, you don't know anything. You are failed. What is your name?" So he says, so he becomes so upset with the professor. He says, "Look at my feet and tell me, sir, what is my name?" You know, we don't hesitate, you know, we get angry on everyone, every damn person, whether he is the professor or he is, you know, anyone. It could be father, mother, teacher, could be guru or any damn person, could be the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. You know, as we can see in this case, Sagar Maharaj's son, you know, they went to the extent of even challenging Supreme. They raised their weapons to kill the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is the nature. Therefore, in the Shastra it is explained, one should learn. One should take inspiration from Lord Shiva, it is explained. Hitopadeshano, it is explained that we should take inspiration from Lord Shiva. Now, why Lord Shiva? Because it is explained that Lord Shiva has got the moon on his head. And moon controls the mind, signifying a cool mind. And also, Lord Shiva has got Ganges on his head. He's got it inside, right? So that also signifies coolness. Ganges is very cooling. At the same time, Lord Shiva has got matted locks, jata, indicating austerities. He's doing a lot of austerities. So to explain, one should learn from Lord Shiva that how one should keep a cool head and how one should receive the mercy of the Lord. Without the mercy of the Lord, you cannot have cool head. So Ganges also represents mercy of the Lord because it's coming from the lotus feet of the Lord. So he's having it in his jata. So he's accepting the mercy of the Lord on his head. And thirdly, he's having matted locks, which means austerity, indicating that a person who's aspiring for a cool head or spiritual advancement must also be patient and be austere, must do some tapasya, and it does not come immediately, which means that it may take some trouble to come for Bhagavatam classes, it may take some trouble to come for Sunday feast lectures, or it may come for some temple programs, attending counselor meetings and all those things. It may be difficult, but still one must be austere. It may be difficult, but it has to be done. So Shastra says one should learn from Lord Shiva. Why? Because he has a cool head, because he receives the mercy of the Lord on his head. At the same time, he is very austere and very perseverant. So in London, in the manor, during time of Srila Prabhupada, you know, this pastime took place. There one reporter came to Srila Prabhupada and she was a little cynical about what is ISKCON and everything. So she was asking Prabhupada many kind of questions and she was trying to somehow find out loopholes in the philosophy and trying to find some faults, but ultimately she couldn't. And so she told, finally she came to the Brahmastra, which they use generally, you know. "So why you Hare Krishnas shave your head? Why do you keep a bald head?" So that news reporter, in UK generally it's very cold, and so that reporter was dressed in a very scanty way. She was having her legs exposed and she was having bare legs. So Srila Prabhupada, when she asked this question to Srila Prabhupada, "Why do you shave your head?" So Prabhupada immediately retorted, "Why do you have bare legs?" And she became flabbergasted. She didn't have anything to say because she didn't expect that from a sadhu, like, you know, saying them something, "Why do you have bare legs?" So then Prabhupada said, You know, it's better to have a cool head and warm legs. It's easy to understand Krishna consciousness with a cool head. So the thing is that Srila Prabhupada was saying that, you know, one very important point is one has to always keep cool. Yeah, because one has to keep one's anger under control. Because one mistake, while one acts under the sway of anger, one can lose all realization, all many realization, or many years of practice of tapasya may be all wasted. That's why it's very important to maintain a cool head. So we can see that consequently this pastime goes on, that Sagar Maharaj's sons were killed. And then what happens? Sagar Maharaj's second wife, Keshini, she had a son who, it is explained here, was a great soul, Jati Smar. He could remember his past life. But because he was such an advanced soul, he did not want to take part in the social responsibilities of the society. So he pretended to be a very cruel person. And in his play and in his normal, you know, conduct, he would actually go and murder people. Just imagine, he went to the extent of putting up a reputation of being a cruel person because he was so advanced that he actually would go to the extent of killing people. So the father, Sagar Maharaj, he just deserted him and told him to get out of the kingdom. So what this person did, Asamanjasa, that Asamanjasa, just before leaving, he brought back all the dead people back to life. All those people whom he killed, he brought them back to life, and then he left for the forest. So when his father came to know that his son was actually, in one respect, such a great soul, then he was feeling very sorry, he was feeling separation. Again, so the Bhagavatam explains, what is the nature of great souls? That the great souls actually do not run behind reputation and praise. And here we can see, again, a very extreme example. Bhagavatam contains many extreme examples. You know, that how the great devotees of the Lord, they run far away from reputation and glorifications and prestige and adoration. That he went to the extent of killing people. Yeah. So, finally what happens, then his son was Amshuman. He was a great father, so naturally his son was also a very great person. And Amshuman, it is explained, that he was... He went to Lord Kapila's ashram in order to retrieve the horse. And he recognized the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he was a great devotee, he was a great person of great values, he actually could recognize Lord Kapila. And he started offering prayers to Lord Kapila. And what were the prayers he offered? Here, which we just read. He's explaining that it is so difficult to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he was actually saying that my stepbrothers could not understand you. But actually, you are supreme and you are covered by illusion. You are covered by the illusory energy of your own energy, actually, of Maya. And it's very difficult to understand you. So we can understand that what it takes to understand and recognize the Lord. Once there were some students who came from Somaya MBA College, and they were speaking with me, and I was just giving them a tour around the temple. So they were standing in front of Lakshmi Narayan temple. So one boy, he was asking me, "Sir, I want to ask you one very serious question, sir." I said, "Yeah, what is your question?" So he says, "Can we see God?" So he's standing in front of Lakshmi Narayan temple and he's asking me, "Can we see God?" So I told him, "Why don't you take darshan of the Lord? He's standing there in front." And he's standing there. "Why don't you see him?" So you see that many times, because we are so much covered over by the illusory energy of the Lord, we may be standing in front of the Lord, but we are actually not seeing the Lord. Therefore, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that one should not simply come to the temple to see the Lord, one should actually sit and hear about the Lord. hearing is very important. Otherwise, one will just be spending time. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that if you are not hearing regularly, you are taking darshan of the Lord as eye exercise. Eye exercise. Like, you know, many years ago, before coming to ISKCON, I used to come to Grant Road. I used to live in Santa Cruz, and I used to come to Grant Road because I had spectacles, and I thought, you know, I should get my eye exercise. I'm getting the specs. So there was one doctor here who used to give eye exercises. I can relate with this. Why? Because, you know, I've actually experienced the eye exercise. For 1 month, I went, and they had given us various charts with, you know, circles, and you had to move your eyes around, and, you know, you have to blink your eyes, and, you know, do all those things with your eyes. You're exercising your eyes. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that many times taking darshan of the Lord, if you're not regularly coming for Bhagavatam classes, of course all of us are, you know, very habitual Bhagavatam listeners, so that's not a problem with us. But those who do not come to the Bhagavatam classes to hear, but they're just simply coming to take darshan, it is explained they're not doing nothing but eye exercise. They're getting some eye exercise. They're reducing the number of their classes, probably. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that. So why? Because this is the nature of the mind, that we get conditioned, you know. We get conditioned to many factors. And we get used to it. It becomes a ritual, coming to the temple, going to Tirthi Yatras, and all those things just become a ritual. So therefore, it is explained, and the story goes on, that Lord Kapila tells Amshuman that your forefathers can be purified. You know, your stepbrothers can be purified if you bring Ganges from the heavens. So then his son was Dilipa, and Dilipa's son was Bhagirath. So he went to the heavens to get the Ganges. So he goes to heaven, and the story goes that he goes to the heaven and he requests Ganga that you please come down and help deliver my forefathers. So when Ganga, she receives the request, she tells Bhagirath that if I come down to earth, that who will bear the force of my falling? So Bhagirath says, that's not a problem. I will request Lord Shiva. Because Ganga was not on this earth. Ganga was flowing in the heavens as Mandakini. So she had to be brought down. So then he went and requested, and he did tapasya, and Lord Shiva accepted that, okay, I will bear the force of Ganga on my head. So when Ganga comes down with full force, it is explained in Shastras, that Ganga becomes a little proud, and she thinks that Lord Shiva is going to take the force of my falling. Is it? Okay, I will take Lord Shiva also along with me. Let's see how he can bear the force of my falling. So the moment when Ganga thought that, Lord Shiva understood the mentality of Ganga. So what did Lord Shiva do? When Ganga came, he took the Ganges and made a jata so tight that Ganga could not escape. So Bhagirath started thinking that where is Ganga? She descended on earth, but she is nowhere to be seen. Then again he performed tapasya to Lord Shiva, saying that please release Ganga, because my purpose is not met. So Lord Shiva, he just releases one little bit of his jata, and one small trickle of Ganges water comes to earth. Yeah, and that is what we see, is the Ganges. And that Ganga flows to the nether worlds and washes the ashes of Sagar Maharaj's sons, and they get deliverance and they ascend to heaven. So this is one story of how Ganga descends. Yeah. So there are other stories also. It is explained, like if you go to Nasik, you will hear this. You go to Trimbakeshwar, there is another story that how Parvati was thinking that I am the lawful wedded wife of Lord Shiva. Right? But it seems that Ganga is more dear to Lord Shiva because he is always keeping her on her head, on his head. So she requests Lord Shiva that, you know, let Ganga come out. It's not good you are keeping her on your head. So Lord Shiva, he does not agree. So Parvati schemes that I should do something. So what happens? Lord Ganesha, he thinks I should also help my mother in this project. So he tells his associates that there is a great rishi called as Gautam Rishi, that when there was a drought on earth for 14 years, Gautam Rishi's ashram was, there was no drought there. So Lord Ganesh thought that he is the right candidate who will be responsible for bringing down the Ganges. So what she does, he goes and he tells one of his associates to become a cow, and he's wandering around in the ashram of Gautama. So Gautama sees the cow eating the grains of his field. So he goes with a straw of grass and he beats the cow, just with a straw of grass. But the cow pretends to die, And all the other rishis, they say, Gautam Rishi, you killed a cow. We are not going to stay in your ashram anymore. So Gautam says, no, why? You should not leave me like that. Tell me some atonement. They say that you should go, you should get the Ganges here. And the Ganges will flow in this area, and this area will be purified, and then only we can come and stay in your ashram. So then Gautam Rishi, he goes, does tapasya, and then Lord Shiva is pleased, and then he releases Ganga. And therefore we see in Nasik, there's that Godavari, and then she comes down like that. So there are various lessons to be learned from this pastime, that that because of false pride, the sons of Sagar Maharaj became the cause of their own deaths, and how by the flow of the Ganga they were actually purified. So the purity of the Ganges has been described, that how the Ganges has a purity to wash away the sins. But it is explained here, when Ganga was descending, when Bhagirath went to Ganges to request her to come down, Ganges said, there are two conditions. Who will bear the brunt of my force? And secondly, all the people of this world will come to me to wash their sins. What will happen to me? I will become sinful. So Bhagirathi says, that's not a problem. I will take care of that also. That when great souls come to take bath in your waters, at that time you will also be purified. And therefore, more purifying than actually going to a holy place and taking bath at the Ganges is actually taking the association of a pure devotee of God. An Ananya Bhakta, Krishna Bhakta, if one takes association, which means that going and hearing from him, what? Srimad Bhagavatam, that is the greatest benefit. And therefore, coming for a class and hearing Bhagavatam is so important. Why? Why is association of a pure devotee so important? So it is explained in Bhagavat. Bhavad Vida Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibho Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Swanta Sthena Gadabritah. Because the pure devotees of the Lord carry the Lord within their hearts. And therefore, wherever they go, it's a holy place. Why do we say some place is holy? Because the Lord was there. They walked on that place. But because the Lord is in the heart of the devotee, wherever the devotee walks, he makes all that place purified. And we can see that, like recently I was in Vrindavan, and I was amazed to see Dinabandhu Prabhu was taking a parikrama, We went to all Nandagaon, Barsana, and all these places. I was amazed to see, that there were devotees from all over the world. And some of them were like from Muslim Islamic countries. About 170, 200 devotees, many of them were like from, many of them were actually from Islamic background. And they were chanting Hare Krishna. They were becoming Hare Krishna. They were wearing kanti mala, they were wearing tilak, they were wearing dhoti, kurta, sadi, and all those things, and they were moving around in the streets of Vrindavan. And I was wondering in my mind, what's happening? This movement is exploding like anything. I was, a few years back, I was in the guest reception of the Panchatattva deity installation, and we had three counters to receive the guests, international guests. Three counters. One was Indian counter, second was international counter, and third was a Russian counter. A separate counter just for Russia. And how many people came from Russia? 1,500 visitors just from Russia. I mean, the movement is really exploding. I was just thinking. And how this happened? Because Srila Prabhupada traveled all over the world. Now, if you go anywhere in the world, you'll find ISKCON temples. You can go hear Bhagavat. You can get purified. You can chant Hare Krishna. Anyone could have believed that such a thing was possible before Srila Prabhupada went to the West? No, not possible. Why? Because it is explained here that the devotees of the Lord are moving mobile holy places. Like we have mobile phones. Like that, the devotees of the Lord are mobile holy places. And wherever they go, they purify the places. So, and what do devotees speak? They speak Gita. They speak Bhagavat. So the Ganges is flowing from the feet. and the Gita is flowing from the mouth. And therefore, if we take the Ganges on our head and we take the Gita in our ears, then we will become purified of all the anarthas and we can very soon approach the Supreme Personality of God, Shri Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol.